إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He's alone without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless our messenger Muhammad and to raise his rank and to raise his mention and to shower him with grace and mercy and peace and safety and security along with his family, his companions, and all those who follow his guidance to the last day. And we welcome you again. And as we decided last week, you guys were going to have a homework assignment. Who did their homework? If you read the pamphlet that was given to you, you may raise your hand. If you read the pamphlet. That's not bad. Thing, okay. If you intended to read it. Alhamdulillah. Okay. No problem. Inshallah, you will read it. But the only discouraging part about this is I'm going to stop giving gifts if no one's going to do their homework. Because I brought more gifts today, but if people are not going to read them, I don't think there's any point in giving them out. We can give them to other people. But what we decided generally last week is, inshallah, we're going to take advantage of the next few weeks that I'm going to be here with you. And
I come here for you, Sheikh.
No, you come here for Allah, man. You come here for Allah. We ask Allah to grant us all sincerity. But inshallah, the plan is that we would discuss aspects of the Messenger's life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ideally, I would have liked to finish actually a book about that, which is a small yet very great book on seerah, but I don't think we have the time to go about it, especially in our gathering here. Because it's a weekday, a weeknight, people are tired, and a class like that would require a lot of attention. So what I've decided is instead of doing that, we're just going to touch on certain aspects of the Prophet's life, alayhi salatu wasalam, try to extract certain lessons for ourselves, and try to benefit from that. Instead of going through the whole life story, even though that's very important, but inshallah, it's like I said before, it's hitting the tip of the iceberg, but you have to do your research, you have to become more acquainted with the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, you have to read about him individually. And this should be a regular type of reading. It's not that we pick up a book of seerah and we read it from cover to cover and I say, well, I read the biography of the Messenger. The biography of the Messenger should be to us like the Qur'an is to us. And the Qur'an, we should have a daily dosage of the Qur'an. Some of the scholars of the past went so far as to saying that don't desert the Qur'an. And they said, if you own a mushaf, if you own the Qur'an in book form, you would be considered deserting it if you don't read from it on a daily basis. So at least open it up and read it. So how about a lot of us, we collect some of these things as memorabilia and all types of other things and we hang it up and we never read it. That's a very dangerous thing. So like we should have a daily dosage of the Qur'an, reciting certain verses, a few verses a day at least, we should likewise have a dosage of the Messenger's life, alayhi salatu wasalam. So today what I wanted to start off with is something about the Messenger. And I'm going to start it off as a story, just to keep it a little exciting. In the time of the pre-Islamic era, which is known as the Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, before revelation came upon the earth for the final testament, the Qur'an, there was a practice amongst the people which is to wage war on others, and when you wage war on others, the prisoners of war become your slaves. And you own them. They become your property. That was the case in that culture universally. It wasn't only in the Arabian Peninsula. So one time the tribes had a fight. And basically the Messenger's tribe ended up with a child. And that child basically eventually ended up with the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, prior to him being a messenger. That young man was named Zayd. So Zayd now is a little child. And his father is not really known. And the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, due to his mercy, he adopted Zayd. for your information, this Zayd is the only companion of the Messenger that is mentioned by name in the Quran. The only one. So he has a great history coming up for him. Zayd was adopted by the Messenger. In those days, the practice was to adopt a child, but they're not your biological father. And it's not just to adopt them as in financially take care of them. It's actually to assume them as one of your own. So when you die, they inherit you. When they die, you inherit them. And it's almost like a blood relationship. So much so that the Messenger made this young man, who used to be like a servant, like we said, into his own adopted son. So he was known as Zayd, son of Muhammad. Okay?
Yeah.
And the Messenger, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved him tremendously. He loved him very much. Now, Zayd ends up growing up. Revelation starts coming about. And one aspect of revelation was to cancel out this pre-Islamic practice of adoption. Allah was not pleased with that practice, and in Revelation He sent commandments that this is not allowed. It's not lawful. And Zayd was to be named after his own biological father, which was named Haritha. The story goes, Haritha. And the story goes that the family of Zayd, when things cooled down, came over and said, "We want our son. You guys have part of our family. So we want him back." So the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, being fair and just, he told Zayd, "You know, your dad and your uncles, they kind of want to have you back. But it's up to you. I don't want to enforce something upon you. So it's up to you what you want." And Zayd said, "I'll never leave you. Forget my dad. Forget my family, forget my clan. I have the best." And that was the choice the child or the young man at that time made. Now, there's many lessons to be learned from here. I mean, just imagine. You know, you have all these reality TV shows and crazy things like that where 10 years down the line, somebody finds out, oh, who their biological parents are, and, you know, they leave their family and they're like, "We want to go home," and this and that. He didn't have any hesitation, Zayd. So he became attributed to his father. His name is Zayd ibn Harith, ibn Haritha, but he did not want to leave the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he remained with him. Now, there is a verse in the Quran that speaks about the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and speaks about this issue where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ." Muhammad was not the father, the biological father, or the adopted father of any of your men. But what he was is a messenger from Allah and the final seal of all prophets. So this verse is the one that abolished this practice of pre-Islam, which is adoption. In the sense of, like I said, because we want to be careful, some people say, well, Islam is against adoption. Well, there is technical terms that you can't just translate from one language to the next. Islam is against the type of adoption which is to assume someone as your child, because they're not your child. It's called lying. But you taking care of an orphan, or you taking care of a child in need, you sponsoring them financially and becoming their adoptive parent legally, that's a completely different story. But don't say, "This is my son," even though you did not produce him. That's the key. That's the idea that we want to bring across. Now, the Prophet ﷺ had male children born in his lifetime, but they all died in front of him in his lifetime, ﷺ. And none of them survived. Now, even though this is the story. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't know, you ever heard the story before? Well, now you heard a new story. Here Allah is negating that Muhammad is the father of any of the men in this ummah. But at the same time, the Messenger himself used to call out some of the young companions, "Ya Bunay," which means "my son." Likewise, the companions used to treat the Messenger as they would treat their father, as far as respect is concerned, as far as love is concerned, as far as what was his relationship towards them, caring for them, being concerned with them, being merciful for them, just like a father would be for his children, ideally, the ideal father. Not the irresponsible, males that we have in many societies today that can produce children biologically but not take care of them in reality. And Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about this where He says, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum." Here He says that the Messenger has more rights upon the believers than their own selves. And his wives are their mothers. Some of the scholars, when speaking about this verse, they say that, you know, when we speak about them, the wives of the Messenger, we call them our mothers. So Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, is our mother. Hafsa is our mother. Through this verse. So just imagine, some people got problems with your mother in Islam. You shouldn't be very fond of them. So people who got problems with Aisha and with Hafsa and Salama and all these beautiful ladies, they're like, got problems with your mama. So be careful. Be aware of that. But that's not the point. When Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim," He's saying that the Messenger has more rights upon the believers than they have rights upon themselves. Which means He's almost like their father, but figuratively speaking. Not literally. He's not their adoptive father, and He's not their biological father. But He has that state, that status of a father towards them. Okay? Now, Allah Azza wa Jal described Him in a beautiful way, where He says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And this is the description of the ideal father anyway. He says, a messenger has come to you from amongst yourselves. And this is to all of us. Of course, to the companions first and foremost, but to all of us who come in this ummah. A messenger from amongst yourself has come up to you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. It hurts him. It bothers him. It is very difficult for him when you go through any hardship, any difficulty, when you suffer. He feels it. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's very concerned about your affairs. Not only is he concerned, he's concerned about your welfare in this life and in the next life. It actually makes him, it preoccupies him where you're going to be. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَأُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He's merciful and most kind towards the believers. That is his description, alayhi salatu wassalam. Why, I'm going to ask every single one of you, why did Zayd make the choice that he made? Why did a child who was taken as captive, which means it was a major traumatic experience, psychologically it must have been very tough, to be taken away from your blood relatives and to be treated like a servant, but then all of a sudden he says, this is who I want to stay with. You know, I don't know if you guys heard about this. Last year, I think I heard it in the news, there was a girl who was kidnapped by a crazy man and his wife, and they kept her in their backyard for 20 years. You heard about the story?
Yes.
Right? What happened when she had the chance to leave? She disappeared. Not only did she go back to her family, that's exactly what happened. The man was kidnapped. But then when the family came, they're like, we want him back. He says, I never want to go back with you. You will never compare. What happened? Something is wrong in this equation. What?
There's the character of the prophet.
The character of the prophet. What do you have, Mitch?
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, so he cheated?
Yeah.
The character of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, that would make someone who's taken in captivity, someone who was a servant, someone who's looked at as a foreigner in this area, feel like, not only do I belong in the most noble household in this tribe. Because the messenger's household, even pre-Islam, it was the most noble. Like his lineage is the most noble. So he felt like he completely belonged. And he's like, I'm never going to switch. I'm never going to go back. I have something here that's clear, that's certain. And I'm not going to go to something that's uncertain. The point is exactly what you said. Allah Azza wa Jal describing him and saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And that's what we're going to speak about, inshallah, tonight, is Allah Azza wa Jal declares and He says, you, O Muhammad, without mentioning His name, He says, indeed, you are upon a great moral character. You're upon great moral ethics. Your values are amazing. You are just the perfect human example and character. And that's why Zayd is just an example, and I mention him as just a story, but the stories are plenty. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam himself one time summarized his mission. He summarized his mission and he says, I came only to fulfill and perfect morals and manners. He summarized his whole mission. And one might say, well, okay, so all we have to have is really good character, and that means we've perfected our religion, because that's really all that matters. Well, part of good manners and character is to worship Allah alone without any partners. That's called justice. If you have no manners, you will worship something beside Allah. It doesn't matter how nice you are. You could be a gentleman or a lady, but if you're not worshiping your Creator, you have no manners whatsoever. Until you worship your Creator, you have developed aspects of manners and character that you were missing before. But the Messenger ﷺ spoke about his message and says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Indeed, I have only been sent to perfect beautiful manners, high moral ethics. One time, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which is a famous historical event that took place, where in the story of the biography of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the Messenger and his companions decided to go to Mecca and perform Umrah, and the Quraysh at that time prevented them from doing so, which was a very bad thing. You never prevent anyone from entering the house of Allah. That's very bad. But they decided to prevent them. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, look, we're not coming to fight, we're not coming to wage war. And basically that day ended up being a treaty where the Messenger was prevented from performing Umrah, but the deal was struck that next year we'll come and we'll perform Umrah. And of course that day Allah called it Fathan Mubina. He called that day a day of victory, even though to the outside look person who's observing, or the neutral person, or even some of the companions said, how can this be a victory when we just got defeated? We're trying to worship our Lord, we're prevented from doing so. But they didn't know what was to happen, of course, in the future. Anyway, in that event, the Quraysh sent a delegate, one of their people, to go and communicate, do a deal, strike a deal with the Muslims. So this man goes, has the conversation, comes back, and he says, guys, you've sent me before to be a delegate to kings. I've seen Caesar, the king of Rome. And I've seen the kings of Persia and the kings of Africa, Abyssinia, which are the major powers in those days. He says, but I had never seen the companions of any king treat their king like the companions of Muhammad treat Muhammad. And he mentioned many things about how they would treat him. They mentioned many things about how they would treat him. How they would fight over being close to him, you know, and how they would rush when he's making wudu to grab the water that's falling from him. And how they wanted to shade him so the sun won't bother him and won't hurt him. And so forth. All of that, the reason for that love, that's again another example. In the battlefield, men and women alike defending him with their own lives. They did not mind losing their children, losing their husbands if it was a woman. The first thing she would ask about is what happened to the Messenger of Allah. Why? Why would someone be that way? This is called, I don't know, it's weird, don't you think? It's very strange. What did he do to them? How did he mesmerize those people so much? Now, not only did he mesmerize his friends, we just spoke about the delegate who was a non-Muslim at the time. Later, this guy becomes Muslim, by the way. Because of the character. Because of the treatment. Because of the lessons that he learned. So the companions truly loved him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, this image that we spoke about just shows a part of his excellent character, and it's a secret of his personality, alayhi salatu wasalam. But what's amazing is he went through many different circumstances. Maybe we mentioned this yesterday. He was poor and he was rich. He was healthy and he was sick. He lived and he died. He was exiled and he was a resident. He was settled. In all these circumstances, his character never changed. You know what happens to us? They usually tell you, you know, when you're having fun, no one knows what your character is all about. Try going on a journey. And then the food comes late. How do you behave? Let's talk about Ramadan time. You fasted the whole day. You are not feeling anybody. And time of iftar comes. And you're worshipping Allah. And someone does something silly. You're going to go choke that person. Right? But let's compare that human flaw that we have with the Messenger's character, alayhi salatu wasalam. Never did he compromise on his excellent character. Never. Never did he let his ego, if you will, get the best out of him. Not only he didn't do that, his own companions trained themselves because they came from his school. Not to do that. So much so that Ali radiallahu anhu, it's a famous story. In the battlefield, he's fighting with one of the disbelievers. The disbeliever falls down. Disbeliever spits on his face. So Ali's like, I'm going to leave you alone. He's like, come on, kill me. What you mean you're going to leave me alone? He says, you spat on my face. He's like, so? He's like, before you spat on my face, I was fighting with you for a just cause because you were refusing to worship your creator. Now you spat on my face, you're making it personal. I'm not fighting with you anymore. It's not about personality. So again, they maintain that excellent character in all times, all places, all circumstances. That's why the Messenger ﷺ was loved by everyone. The women, the men, the children. The children, he would be sitting and playing with them. He would see them on the streets and would give them salam. I mean, this is very strange. I don't know how it is culturally. For most of you, you might come from overseas or even here in America. Usually, grown adults don't speak to children. And if they do speak to children, something is wrong. Especially in this type of society. But the children loved him so much, it's narrated that his own servant, Anas, and we spoke about this last week, served him for 9 years. The messenger never told him, why did you not do such and such? Or why did you do such and such? He never reprimanded him physically. Aisha says the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam never laid a hand on a man, a woman, a child, or even an animal. Except if it was fighting for the cause of Allah on the battlefield. That's called excellent character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That's why he was the greatest man to ever live. That's why he became the ultimate role model. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In the Messenger of Allah, you have a great example. He's called the prime example. Prime example. The best example. The role model that we're searching for. Allah Azza wa Jal describes him and he says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It was through the mercy of Allah that you became soft for your companions. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you had been rude in speech and harsh in your heart and your dealings, they would have abandoned you. They would have stayed away from you. But that just tells you how composed he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, at all times. Someone like that, it's very worthy for us to look at them, study their life, emulate them. What ends up happening is, we all have teachers or special people in our lives that have taught us something. They have life coaches, they have counselors, they have preachers, they have maulanas, shiyukh, teachers, what have you. Now, and they might have great skills in sharing a message with you, or teaching you something, or impacting you one way or the other. But you don't know their full story. You don't know their whole life. You don't know how they are in different circumstances, in different situations. But the messenger, as we said before, everything is recorded. He never lost his cool. So that's why he becomes that ultimate role model. And that's why we should look more into his way of life, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. May Allah bless him and raise his rank. Teaching manners and ethics, teaching good character is not a course. We can't sit down and say, today we're going to talk about manners. All right, what's today's manner? Today's manner is to be kind to your neighbor. Today's character is to be truthful. Today's talk is going to be about being honest. Today's talk is about being humble. Today's talk is about being such and such and such and such. Manners is not something that is theoretical. It's practical. It's learned through experience. It's learned through visualizing somebody living that lifestyle in front of you. So that's why we have a lot of people complain about religion, by the way. If you ask the non-Muslims generally, the Christians around, they hate religion. You know why? They hate religious people. They're like, because they're all hypocrites. Why is that? Because they say, starting from the preacher down, everybody's a liar. They say one thing, and they do another. They tell you, don't preach that which you don't do. Well, the Muslims are guilty of the same thing. So that's why we have to refine our manners. We have to refine our character and our behavior. We have to work hard on it. Because we've been doing certain things for a lifetime, and it's very difficult to change. The change can't be overnight. It takes time. But we have to be patient, and we have to have the resolve that, hey, I'm going to change this character of mine. I have a deficiency in my behavior, and I need to change it. What we need is role models and examples. And this is not just for our community, it's for societies at large. People are just dying for that. Why do you think people are so interested in reality TV? I keep on bringing this pop culture stuff. People, of course, are very interested in gossip and in trash and finding people's secrets. But also because these people are famous. So people naturally think, because you're famous, you should be someone to emulate. You should be someone that others should look up to. But you find that these people have major problems, major deficiencies. So we're not looking in the right places. The best examples were the messengers. May Allah bless them all and grant them peace. Now, what's very important for all of us to remember is the messengers came and they preached this. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهِ And this was mentioned by the messenger Shu'aib. In the Quran, Allah quoted his statement and he says, I don't intend to differ from you in that which I forbid you. So that's what we say, don't preach that which you don't do. So the messenger comes to the people and says, you know, I'm forbidding you from certain things, but I don't intend to go against that teaching that I'm sharing with you. Anyway, that's something that I wanted to share with all of us tonight. The great character of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. Hopefully that will make us interested in looking more into his life, studying it more deeply, and trying to extract lessons from it. Also, what I wanted to do is, because we mentioned this last week, which is the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, his character, his outside appearance. Because some of you might have asked, you know, or were interested. So how did he really look? So do you guys mind if we speak about how he physically looked, alayhi salatu wasalam? You want to hear some of that stuff?
Yes.
You sure? Yes. All right. Bismillah. So the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, we'll start with his hair. Because that's the first thing you see in a person, the hair, right? So the messenger والسلام, was described, like we said, in great detail. And they said that his hair was not curly and it was not straight. It was in between those two things. And it would get long sometimes all the way to touch his shoulders. And sometimes it would be short up to his ears. And he used to take care of his hair. In fact, he commanded his ummah and he said, whoever has hair, let him honor his hair, let him take care of his hair. So having hair is a great responsibility. You should not have a bad hair day in Islam. Well, that's why he said, you either leave it all and you take care of it, or you shave it all. You know? He used to comb it, he used to put oil in it, he used to beautify it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's also described in one event when he came in the conquest of Mecca to have had four braids. His hair was long enough to braid. So he had four braids. Just imagine, alayhi salatu wasalam. His face was round, but it wasn't round like a circle. It was round like the full moon. And that's exactly how illuminated it was. In fact, the companion said, One of them describes him. He said, I had never seen anything more beautiful than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time we're out in the country, and it was a night of a full moon. And he was wearing a beautiful Roman maroon colored dress, describing the Messenger. He says, I had never seen anyone look more beautiful than he did. And I was looking up at the moon and looking at him, and the moon couldn't compare to the beauty of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And they're not exaggerating.
This is the mother of Anas, I think.
No, this was a male companion in that event. His face, his skin color, he was not pale. He was not pale, but he was fair. His skin was white with redness in it. White with redness in it. His forehead was very wide. And it looked like it was on light, like it was illuminating. His eyes were wide. And it looked like he had makeup on. Natural makeup. Natural kuhl. What's kuhl? Highlight? What do they call it? Not mascaras on the eyelashes. What's on the eye? The
eyeshadow.
Eyeshadow.
No, not eyeshadow.
Is it eyeshadow? No, eyeshadow is outside. The ladies, we need your help. Anyway, so he looked like he had kuhl. Kuhl is basically, today what they have is, they have some type of pencil and they
oh yeah, so my mascara.
Nah, mascara is the eyelashes.
They don't use it here.
They don't use it here. They actually do, but some of them don't. Anyway, so his eyes looked beautiful as if they had some special substance on them, but it was natural. It looked like that naturally, alayhi salatu wasalam. His nose was not curved. It was just right. And the tip of it was high. The tip of his nose was high. And it was a long nose. His cheeks were not going down inside, and they were not puffy. They were just right. And they were white. His mouth was big. And his teeth were straight, but they were just shaped right. That when he would speak, you can actually, just through looking at it, you can read what he was saying, even if you can't hear it. And he used to always take care of his oral hygiene. His mouth always smelled nice. In fact, they say the first thing he would do waking up is he would use the toothbrush, the siwak. First thing he would do when he would eat, use the siwak. After eating, siwak. Before wudu, siwak. First thing he would do coming into the house, siwak. Because he was about to kiss his wife. He took care of that. First thing he would do when he would leave the house, siwak. And if he's sitting, he notices that there is a change, because when you sit for a while, you talk for a while, the odor of your mouth is going to change, he would use the siwak. So he took tremendous care of his oral hygiene, alayhi salatu wasalam. His beard was very big. It filled between his shoulders. It wasn't long, but it was big and thick. And he used to take care of it. He used to comb it and he used to put oil in it. His body, he was medium in size. He was not tall, and he was not short. But he was in between that. As far as his clothing was concerned, he would wear whatever was possible to wear. He was not picky with clothing, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he did not ask for something that wasn't around. And he would not reject something that was around and that was available. So he wore the clothes of the Romans, and he wore the head covering, the imamah. And he wore what the Arabs used to wear, which is basically two articles of clothing, an izar, like a lungi somewhat, and a ridat, which is a top garment, what we wear in Umrah. That was the regular clothing of the Arab, by the way. He used to love clean clothes and clean odors. He used to love perfume, actually. And he says, that's one of the things that I love in this life. From the material things, he loved perfume, and he loved women. That's it, all his life. He didn't care about anything else. But when he would wear something, he would never appear arrogant. Even though he was the king, he was the prophet, he was the messenger, he was the judge, he was the teacher, he was the father, he was the commander. He never looked arrogant. We said before that no one can tell him apart from the rest of his companions. He blended in society. He did not stand out. That's his practice. May Allah bless him and grant him peace. And he says, whoever wears something out of arrogance, Allah will not look at him on the Day of Judgment. He was very simple. He did not exaggerate in anything. He just, it was normal. Like, he wouldn't go out of his way to do anything. He wouldn't go out of his way to dress. He used to love being close to people in the way of food and the way of drink. He would break bread with the regular folks. Eat what people ate. Drink what they drank from. One time he slept on a bed. And he says, this is too comfortable, remove that. Let me go back and sleep on the floor. Because it prevented him from sleeping. I mean, from waking up at night and praying. He used to sit on dirt. The messenger, the most noble of Allah's messengers, used to sit on dirt. He would eat on the ground. This is not an obligation, by the way, but we're just describing how he was. This is all to give us the idea that he was humble. He was not arrogant. He did not expect special treatment. Even though the companions still treated him special. But there are certain limits. He doesn't go beyond his human capacity. And one time a lady, an old lady called him and said, I want to invite you to a meal. And he went. He accepted that. That tells you that's humbleness. You know, a lot of special people, VIP people, you invite them, they're like, I don't know. You know, but the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, an old lady would invite him. He's like, you got it. And then when he went, he ate whatever was there. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to pray and lead you in prayer. Why don't you guys pray behind me? To make them feel good. To make them feel special. And subhanAllah, many, many other things. There was some characters that I wanted to talk about. So we said he looked beautiful, alayhi salatu wasalam. He smelled nice. He was medium in height. He was strong physically. His head was big. And his beard was big. And his hands, they were full of meat. You know, some people have skinny fingers. But his fingers, they're described as full of meat. Like, when you shake his hand, it's thick, powerful. Yet, softer than silk. The companions would say, I'd never touched any material that is in existence that was softer than the messenger's hand. So look at this. This strength, this power, the fact that the fingers are full, the joints are powerful, yet it's soft.
Same cotton.
Softer.
Yes.
Softer. Silk is way softer than cotton. So it's the softest thing you can think of. Alayhi salatu wasalam. His eyes were black, the color of his eyes. When he would walk, he would speed walk. They described his walking and they're like, when he would walk as if he's going downhill. Do you know how you walk when you go downhill? That's how he would walk, alayhi salatu wasalam. So much so that when he would walk in the company of his companions, you know, he would tell them, you know, why don't you guys go ahead of me? Because if I'm in front of you, you're going to get tired. So he would go behind them. You know? And Allah Azza wa Jalla, of course, made the earth humble itself to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why he would walk that way. But he walked with power, with strength. He didn't lag. You know, like today people walk like something is wrong with them, like they're handicapped. He didn't walk like a soldier, but he walked like a man. When he would turn around, he's described as he would turn around in full. So, like, when if Ghassan is talking to me, I wouldn't just do this. He would turn fully. Why is that? To give the person full attention. That's great manners. Now, may Allah forgive us, but somebody will be talking to us, I'm on the computer. My wife is talking. Am I going to say, yes, honey, and look at her fully, or I'm going to say, what do you want? And she says what she wants. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Can you say it again? Right? So that's the sunnah. The sunnah is drop it off, give the person your full attention. That individual deserves respect, no matter who they are. Even if it's a child, mind you. If he was called, he was walking on the street, someone calls him, he wouldn't just say, yeah, what do you want? He would turn around fully. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he would sweat, it would be like pearls falling down. That's how they described his sweat. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the things, it's known as the seal of messengers. It's basically something that Allah Azza wa Jal created them with, the messengers, which is somewhat of a mole. You know moles?
Yes, small one.
A small mole that has hair on top of it. And that was in between his shoulders, in the back. So this was a sign of messengership. That doesn't mean whoever has it can declare themselves a messenger. Because as we said in the first verse, there will be no other messenger after him. And whoever comes after him claiming that is a big liar and an imposter. But that's actually how the messengers were described in the past. And that was one of the things, some of the companions who were aware of past traditions, like Salman al-Farisi, was looking for that. So Salman, by the way, has a long story. Again, this is a very beautiful story to share. Salman is a Persian. You know, and Persian, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised that race, mind you. He says, if faith was in the stars, some of the people of Salman would search for faith. Salman, growing up, he was one of the people who are called the Magians. Basically, today you would call them Zoroastrians. It's the ancient faith of Persia. They worship fire. They really don't worship fire, but they worship two gods. The god of evil and the god of goodness. And their sign is fire. So their temples have everlasting fires that's lit. So Salman was raised in that, and then he got fed up with it. His father was the high priest in that religion. He's like, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. I'm going to go follow something else. He left his father and he went and became a Jew. You know, and then actually he became a Christian, sorry. And then the Christians, the true Christians who believed in one God, who practiced the way of the messengers, were dying off. So like he would be with one teacher and the teacher would be like, look, I'm dying. And you got to go to another teacher. He's like, where is he? He's like in the other end of the earth. So he would go travel to the person. And Salman, by the way, he lived many, many years. Like, it's scary actually how long he lived. I don't have a day right now, but he lived a long time. A long time. I'm not going to mention a number right now. He was in search of truth. So he goes from one teacher to the next, one teacher to the next. And then his teachers are like, look, we're sorry, but this earth is looking bad. Everything that's good is dying off. And that's exactly how the world, the earth, was described by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, in my generation, Allah looked at the earth and He hated everything that He saw on earth. The Arabs and the non-Arabs. And that's when the Messenger was sent, alayhi salatu wasalam. So his last teachers told him, look, there will come a man in Arabia that's going to be a messenger. Go and follow him. So the way he was able to get to Arabia is by becoming a slave. Somehow he got enslaved by the Jews. And he went and he started working for the Jews in Medina. Because the Jews were expecting a messenger. So they went in their books. It was said where he would be. And the description was he would be in an area that has volcanic valleys. To the east and to the west. So that exists in a few places on earth. One of which is Yemen. One of which is Medina, which is modern day the city of the messenger. And there was other places. So they would send settlements to different places to look out for him. They were expecting him. Anyway, Salman worked there and then the messenger ended up coming to Medina. Salman says, this is how he met the messenger. He says, I heard that this man came. So I'm like, I'm going to go check him out. I'm going to put him through the test. So he already knew the description of messengers. So he came to him and he says, how are you doing? He's like, I'm doing all right. He's like, here, I have charity for you. He said, thank you, but he did not take from the charity. So he's like, that's one. That's one sign. So then a few days pass. He comes back. How you doing? I'm doing all right. What you up to? I'm a messenger. What do you think? You know? He did not say that, but he said, today I have a gift for you. He's like, okay, I can take from the gift. And he took from the gift. He's like, that's two. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, I know what you're doing. He's like, oh yeah? He's like, yeah, come and check it out. And he told him, come and look at my back. To see this mole that we're speaking about, Khatam al-Nubuwa, the seal of messengers. He says, come and look at it. So when he saw it, he kissed it and he says, that's what I came for. He's like, all my life I've been searching for this moment right now. All my life I've been searching for this moment. Anyway, that's the reason
so
I brought it.
The only person kissed the seal of Prophet?
I don't know if he kissed it. Allahu A'lam. I mean, he was just, he saw it. He's like, okay, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Anyway, so this is another description. So this was known to the people of the past traditions. And of course, this is the way of the messenger. He could not take from charity. He could not eat charity. And neither can his children. His offsprings are not allowed to have charity, by the way. So you cannot give zakah to the family of the messenger. But they should be honored. If they're righteous. Don't go honoring some imposters that say, hey, I'm Sayyid, I'm Sharif, I'm this, I'm that. And they're an imposter. The righteous amongst them, they are the leaders in this community. We love them like we love the messenger. That's a command, if they're righteous. If they follow his way. They don't make up a new religion. And the other thing is he would take gifts. He never rejected a gift. So that's something for all of us to recognize as well. He would take gifts. The third thing, of course, was the seal of messengers. There were many, many other signs. The messenger, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, had beautiful character. Like I said, maybe inshallah we'll talk about some of his characteristics again next week. We just wanted to mention some things and get freshened up, but it's very important. Some of this might be just reminder. Some of it, maybe you're hearing it for the first time, but it's very important, like I said, for us to invest time in recognizing who this man was. Really. Because we hear a lot of negativity about him. Like I said, a lot of bad media coverage, a lot of propaganda, a lot of lies. But if his enemies and his friends treated him like that, something must be strange about this man. So that question should be posed to every single one of us. Let's look more into his life. Let's study his biography, study his practice, what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, I'm done for tonight, inshallah. I have some more gifts for all of you. So we can pass out the gifts.
Inshallah.
Is that good? Mm-hmm. Anyway, and we will close with the, I guess, with a prayer. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to have mercy on the believers, whether they be alive or they have passed. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. We ask him to have mercy and grant peace to the believers, whether they be living or they have passed. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. We ask you, O Allah, to shower your peace and blessings and mercy upon the Messenger Muhammad and to raise his rank and to raise his mention. To grant him peace and security and safety along with his family and all those who follow him till the last day. Allahumma aqsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik wa min ta'atika ma tubalighuna bihi jannatak wa min al-yaqini ma tuhawinu bihi alayna masaib al-dunya wa matta'na Allahumma bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwatina ma abqaytana wa aj'alha al-waritha minna wa aj'al tha'rana ala man zalamana wa ansurna ala man aadana. ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا وقرارنا. We ask you, O Allah, to grant us from your fear that which prevents us from sinning and transgressing your limits. And we ask you to grant us from your acts of obedience what will end us in your paradise. And we ask you to grant us certainty that will make the trials and difficulties of this life easy for us. And we ask you to allow us to enjoy our energies and our strength, our vision and our hearing and all the blessings that you've given us to the fullest. Amen. And we ask you to make our revenge only against those that have wronged us. And we ask you to grant us victory against those who have enmity with us. And we ask you not to make this material life our biggest concern. And we ask you to protect us from ending up in the hellfire. And we ask you to make paradise our final abode of bliss. And we ask you, O Allah, to protect the Muslims wherever they might be. And to make it easy on them. And to grant them guidance. And to grant them peace and mercy. And to grant them victory over those who have oppressed them. And we are not really doing much about our brothers and sisters, but the least we can do is to pray for them. So this is a reminder for all of us. Remember your brothers and sisters in your prayers, especially the ones that are going through many difficulties. The people in Syria are going through a lot. in case you don't know. They're going through a lot. They're being butchered. You know, they have leaders that do not fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So we ask Allah to grant them victory and to destroy the oppressors. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant victory to the Muslims wherever they might be. Because it's not just one location, but this is something that's really bleeding right now, bleeding very hard. Because one person might say, you know, well, Palestine has been bleeding for 60 years. Kashmir has been bleeding for 60 years. That's correct. But what's happening right now, we got a fresh wound right now that's bleeding in a way that it hasn't bled before. So that's why we want to remember them especially, but remember the rest of the ummah as well. And ask Allah to make us factors of benefit. Allahumma ja'alna mafatiha lil khayr, maghaliqa lil shar. Make us keys to goodness and make us people who are people who close the doors of evil. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Bless our messenger Muhammad, raise his rank, grant him peace and blessings. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All praises due to Allah. He's far above any imperfection. He's far above any imperfection that people attribute to him. And peace and blessings be upon the messengers, and all praises due to Allah, the Lord of everything. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allah, you're the epitome of perfection. You're far above any imperfection. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except you, and I repent to you, and I seek your forgiveness. Allahu a'lam, Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. The sisters, please, I need a number of how many we have over there. Is your family inside? Okay. We need a number of whoever is inside, inshallah, so we can pass out the things. Let me deal with that, inshallah.